Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer for you, we invite your call right now to 844-322-2742. That number is good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. We encourage your call right now. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Richard Piper.
Thank you, Bob. All month long this month, we've been talking about faith. We've talked about all kinds of aspects of faith, and today I wanted to turn it just a little bit and talk about the faith. You hear this phrase quite often in the NIV New Testament. If I counted properly, there's 34 occurrences of this phrase, the faith. And here's a typical example. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. That's 2 Corinthians 13:5, mm-hmm. First half of that verse. And you begin to think, well, there must be something special about the faith. What's it mean? I mean, what am I supposed to do with it? And if you look at how it's used, it actually is fairly straightforward. It's talking about the doctrines that we've received and believed, Christian doctrine, all that Christianity stands for. And so you start thinking about the faith, and you immediately jump to denominations.
Right.
That's how I was raised. I think a bunch of you out there were raised that way as well. So what does the denomination believe? I want to know what the faith is. Well, if you stick with the Bible, you find out that there are some pretty clear indications of what this faith is. Let me start in Galatians 3:22, because it uses this word faith in several ways. But the Scriptures declare that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, that's the faith we've been talking about all month, might be given to those who believe. Before this faith, well, that's a different usage right there. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. Notice how often he's using the word faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. What is he talking about? I mean, he's using a word that is a perfectly good word to use, but then he turns it so that it's almost personified. You expect him to say who? Mm-hmm. Well, he actually does say who. He talks about faith in Jesus Christ, and that this faith was revealed, and this faith has come. Well, who has come? Jesus has come. It has to be Jesus. And so the first thing you should go to when you're thinking about the faith is Jesus. Why would I say that? Because Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is an unequivocal statement. He either is or he is not. Yeah. So Jesus is the faith or he is not the faith. Whatever else faith means, the faith, Jesus has to be at the center of that definition. Here's another way of looking at it that Paul used. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There we have that centerpiece of Jesus yet again.
Yeah.
And so, why does Basic Gospel do what we do? What is the approach that we take? Here is the approach we take. Again, Paul, Romans 1, famous passages 16 and 17. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentiles. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So the faith is a synonym for the gospel. Both of them are synonyms for Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his victories over sin and death, the fact that he has gone back to heaven victorious overall, And now the Holy Spirit is here to teach us, inside of us, when we accept Jesus. That is the faith. I want to go back to the second half of the verse I started with. It said, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. And then Paul said, do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, if you fail the test. Are you in the faith? Ask the question, is Jesus Christ in me?
Yeah.
If he is, you're in the faith.
You're in the faith.
If he's not, you're not in the faith. But it's the easiest problem to solve in the world. Just say yes to Jesus.
Indeed.
Jesus is the faith. Jesus is the reason we do everything. The gospel is the story of Jesus.
He is the reason that we are here every day, folks, with the basic gospel. That's great news, Richard. Thanks for sharing that. Friends, if you'd like additional in-depth insight into the Word of God and its application in your life, information and insight that's available 24 hours a day, if you'd like to grow in your knowledge of God's love and grace and the forgiveness and life that He offers freely through Jesus Christ, then I'd like to point you to Basic Gospel on both Facebook and YouTube. There's a wealth of teaching on these sites, and it's all absolutely free for the visiting, as I said, 24 hours a day. That's Basic Gospel on Facebook and on YouTube. As I've also said many times, Richard, we are live. This is a live radio broadcast, and friends, if you have a question that you'd like to pose, you can get an immediate answer. If you're going through some issue in life that is troubling, you can discuss it with us right now. We're here at your time of need, so we would love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Richard, a question that was sent to us by email. This is from Natalie. She says, this is a very interesting question, and I think a lot of young ladies go through this. She said, I'm having a hard time being patient and waiting on God to bring my future husband. I desire marriage and being a wife and mom. How can I be patient in my singleness? I'm 26, and it is just so hard to keep waiting. Does God have singleness or marriage in store for me? Why does God have some people wait longer for marriage than others? I just feel like it will never happen to me and that God has forgotten about me. I pray every day for my future husband, and I hope he is praying for me too, but God still hasn't answered my prayer. Are my prayers really making a difference, or am I just wasting my time? That's a heartfelt question from Natalie.
It is a heartfelt question, and I've got a heartfelt answer, but you're not going to like it. Stop waiting for your husband. Live your life. Focus on Jesus, not on the hope for a husband. Focus on Jesus leading you in your life, in your job, in your friends, in your church associations, whatever it is that defines your life right now. Live in it. Enjoy it. Rejoice in Christ. Be at peace. Because if all you're doing is focusing on, I don't have a husband, then you have defined yourself, you have changed your identity from a child of the living God, a daughter of God himself, to a person who doesn't have a husband. And because you've defined it that way, that's a terrible, terrible thing. So now I'm incomplete, God doesn't love me, he doesn't care, he's not answering my prayers, and that's no way to live. Okay, I've heard the same kind of thing come from guys, believe it or not. More often from women, but I've heard it from guys too. How I so want a godly wife. When is God going to give me one? Well, don't worry about it. When the time is right, it will come about. God knows what he's doing. He knows what you need more than you do. So prayer is not a means of getting what we want. It's not even a means of getting what we need. Prayer, by definition, is a means of communicating with God, right? As a child of God, as a daughter of God, in this case, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. That Spirit is talking to you every day. He's renewing your mind. He's bringing peace and joy and love into your life, and he wants to talk to you about it. Prayer is the way you talk to him about that stuff. And you know, it doesn't mean that you sit down in a room by yourself or on your knees and say, oh, dear Lord God, here's what I need to talk about. No, you just talk.
Yeah.
How do you talk to your friends? You just talk. Sometimes you're angry. Sometimes you're joyful. Sometimes you're in pain. Sometimes you're not. But be honest with him and just carry on the conversation. And then instead of constantly asking him for a husband, say, Lord, focus me on what I need to be focused on right this moment. If it's in my job, how do I do this job well to bring honor to you and success to the organization? Mm-hmm. If it's in a church situation, how do I worship you in a way that communicates to other people? If it's a situation of a friend who's having a problem, how can I give them godly advice? What words would you put in my mouth? And see, that keeps us focused on Jesus, who is the answer to all of this stuff, and gets us off of ourselves. Because here's the thing that most people don't realize when they're in this situation. Both men and women can spot the desperate person in a heartbeat. All you have to do is spend 5 minutes talking with them, and you go, uh-oh, something's not right here. You may not know what it is, but intuitively you realize that somebody is too needy, that they're going to grab on and not let go. And that's no way to build a relationship. If you're focused on Christ, if you just relax in the Lord and quit working so hard on all this stuff, mm-hmm. you will discover yourself being more joyful around other people, able to carry on better conversations. You'll be a servant of the living God instead of demanding that people serve you. And you can slowly but surely work through whatever issues need to be worked through when you meet someone to determine whether you're equally yoked, you believe in the same Jesus, for example, and whether marriage is in your future.
Yeah.
But if you're constantly focused on where's the man, or where's the woman, you're never going to find either. You're just not going to, because it's an unhealthy situation. So let the Spirit calm you down, right? Philippians 4 tells us that. Take your cares to Him. It's okay. But also expect His peace to calm you down, to quiet your heart, to clarify your mind, get rid of the fog. Mm-hmm. See what happens.
Yeah.
Walk by faith in the living Jesus.
Richard, I don't know if you've ever had your words punctuated by thunder or not, but you just did. We have a little thunderstorm moving through. You know, I agree with everything that you said. Another aspect of that is probably about 20 years ago, a young lady came to me at one of our conferences. She was about the same age at that time that Natalie is today. She was 26, and she was in tears, literally. So she took me aside, and she said pretty much the same thing that Natalie said, that she had been waiting. She was ready to find a husband, to be married, but God just wasn't answering her prayers. So we talked for, I guess, probably a better part of a half an hour. And I finally said to her, look, you know, if God gives us the desires of our heart, this desire of yours, you're in Him, He's in you, then this desire is coming from Him to be married, to be a mom, to be a wife, and to have a godly husband. And so I encouraged her, wait, allow God to work. Allow Him to finish the work that He had begun in her and in him. And because, you know, if you're buying a car, you don't want it to come without a steering wheel, without the fenders on it, without wheels. Well, you know, maybe God has not finished working in you, and He might not be finished working in your prospective husband. Give it some time. Within 2 years, she was married. And today, some 20 years later, they have two wonderful children. They're walking hand in hand in the Lord Jesus every day of their lives.
Yeah.
And are just, it's basically the perfect marriage as far as I can see.
Yeah, that's what walking by faith does.
Absolutely.
And if she hadn't gotten married within 2 years, she'd still be at peace and have joy and be serving the body of Christ in whatever situation God was leading her through.
Yeah.
Either way, it works out. There is no perfect human solution. Every godly solution is perfect by definition.
Absolutely. Well, again, we have open lines for you. That toll-free number, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. We want you to be a part of the conversation at Basic Gospel, everybody, so give us a call. We await you right now, 844-322-2742. Well, let's really, really shift gears here. This is a question from Yurok, and he says, do all Spirit-filled believers speak in tongues? So there you are.
There we are. Turn in your Bibles. How many times have you heard that in church? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. Here is the answer to your question. Now, starting in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. That is a vitally important statement.
Mm-hmm.
We are part of the body of Christ and each one of us is a valuable part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Now listen, here's a series of questions coming up. Are all apostles? What is the answer to that? No. It's a presumed no. These are rhetorical questions. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I talk with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am nothing.
Yeah.
Right? A Christian, spirit-filled Christian, may or may not speak in tongues. It's up to the spirit. It's not up to the person. It's not up to the local connection of the body of Christ to determine how you're defined as a Christian.
Yeah, and it's not something you learn in a classroom.
No, no. Well, unless you're learning Spanish or German or Japanese or Mandarin or something like that. Does the gift of tongues exist? Absolutely. I've known people who never a day in their lives spoke other languages, but found themselves, for example, in a mission situation. They go into town, they're getting some clothes washed at the local laundromat, and they strike up a conversation with one of the other people there, and they have this wonderful conversation while they're washing their clothes and drying them and folding them. And on the way out the door, this person stopped and said, well, I just carried on a conversation with somebody. I don't speak her language. And there they were, sharing with each other in the spirit. You know, she can't explain it other than to say, God made sure I understood her, and he understood that, or made sure that she understood me. What a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
No pressure, no demands for certain kinds of performance, just walking by faith in the spirit, by grace, through faith. You don't have to get all wrapped up in this stuff. There is no point in it. All it does is cause division. Whereas if we follow Paul's writing here, we find out that the body of Christ raises everyone because we're all helping each other and
right.
building the relationship yeah. with Jesus.
Iraq, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And friends, we want to address your questions on Basic Gospel. We know that many of you can't call during the live broadcast, but there's still a way that your voice can be heard. All you need to do is simply go to basicgospel.net, click the radio tab, and choose On Air Question. There you'll have the option of recording your question or filling out a text message form. Either way, we want your question on Basic Gospel. We want you to be a part of the broadcast. It's here for you. And once again, that's under the radio tab at basicgospel.net. While we're talking about additional information and things that you hear each day on Basic Gospel, they are available to you, friends, 24 hours a day. We have set up Facebook and YouTube pages where you'll find a wealth of teaching. These sites are there 24 hours a day, and it's absolutely free for the visiting, just a wealth of information and teaching right there on the Basic Gospel Facebook and YouTube channels, I guess you could call it that. So we encourage you to take advantage of those.
Yeah, one of the things you will find, especially on YouTube, are some of the longer form videos, sermons and teaching and things like that, that we can't possibly do here on radio. We've got about 25 minutes. We deal with several questions. It goes in a hurry. But when you have a chance to sit down and watch a sermon series, say on Hebrews or Galatians or 1 Corinthians, there's information that you can get there that you may not hear anywhere else quite
right.
that way, and take advantage of it. It's
absolutely.
Good stuff.
Facebook or YouTube, just look for the Basic Gospel sites on both of those sites. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky and talk to Mary Jo. What's on your mind today, Mary Jo?
Yes, I have trouble grasping. What does it mean that love doesn't seek its own way? Does that mean always trying to have your way through arguments, or what does that mean?
You hit it right on the head. That's exactly right. Love is not self-seeking. That means I'm not, if I'm walking in the love of Jesus, I'm not turning every situation to my advantage. I'm not arguing every point to my advantage. I'm not working, whether it's at a job or in the yard or whatever else, I'm not working solely to my advantage because my eyes are no longer on me. My eyes are on Jesus, and I'm seeing the world around me through his eyes. So that means I see people who are in need or who are joyful, and I get to rejoice with them. If they're in need, I get to help them. It takes the pressure off of me and allows me to freely walk through this life in a way that seeks the good of others, because that's what Jesus is doing. So, yes, being self-seeking is to do everything in a selfish, self-centered way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does that help, Mary Jo?
It helps a little. I'm so far behind. I've got a bad back, bad neck, bad shoulder. I'm so far behind that I can't go into detail, but I'll pray about it, and I'll call again if I have more questions.
Okay. Thank you. Sounds good. Thanks, Mary Jo. Appreciate hearing from you. Richard, a question from the Internet from Martin. He says that my pastor knows of my interest in and teaching of the New Covenant and the finished work of Christ. In our discussion, he characterized my thoughts as gnat straining, warned me of the danger of taking one doctrine and going off on a tangent, and seemed to see my concerns as simply a difference of how we read the Scriptures. In his next message, he referenced these items by saying, we don't need any new doctrines. We don't need to get tangled up in hair splitting and so forth. Is it time to leave this church? I am concerned that we're being led by a man who does not see the new covenant and walks instead in the old.
Okay.
Here we go.
Yes, this could be a minefield, and I don't want to make it such. There are several dynamics going on here. The first is sometimes, honestly, those of us who have learned about the grace of Jesus Christ and the new covenant and being free from the law and all of that stuff, we do become hair splitters and gnat strainers. You're listening to one. I love words, and I love what they mean and how they're used. And for the longest time, and still on occasion, I've got trigger words. Somebody will say something, and I'll just jump right out of my chair and say, well, that just can't be because, you know, this and this and this. And I'm not helping anything. So admit that possibility and ask the Spirit to remove that from you if that's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, you may indeed have a pastor who is too insecure to accept that maybe he doesn't know everything.
Yeah.
Okay? Rather than picking on him, encourage him. Continue to be in relationship with him. There's no reason the two of you can't have lunch together and talk about meaningful things without getting into an argument.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is the issue that maybe he just knows this stuff and isn't about to teach it. In that case, it's time to leave that church. You're not working through this stuff on the basis of who's right and who's wrong, because all of us are wrong. The only person who is right is Jesus.
Yeah.
He's the only one who got it right every time. And so I encourage you, if you can, to stay in relationship with this guy. Take his criticism to heart. Take it as if it were meant for good, and let the Spirit renew your mind some more. But also let the Spirit give you some backbone to stand up for things that need to be stood up for.
Right.
And I think you might be able to work it out.
Appreciate your question, Martin. Hope that's a help to you. Once again, friends, if you'd like additional in-depth insight into the Word of God and its application in your life, if you'd like to grow in your knowledge of God's love and grace and the forgiveness and life He offers freely in Jesus Christ, then I would point you to Basic Gospel on both Facebook and YouTube. There is a wealth of teaching on these sites, and it's all yours absolutely free for the visiting. That's Basic Gospel on Facebook and YouTube. Well, thanks for being with us for Basic Gospel today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for our study edition of Basic Gospel.